Well, and here's the thing. Who had control of all those files before January of 2025?
Joe Biden. I posted the other day, someone was talking a bunch of shit. And like, where are the Epstein files? I was like, Hillary Clinton deleted those during Biden's presidency. I don't know what to tell you. I was like, they had them. They ruled Congress and they had it. Like, what do you want?
Right.
Why didn't they release them then? I'm like, you know why? Because a lot of people on both sides are on that motherfucking list.
Yep.
And so everyone, you either got to fire everyone in the government, which I honestly would be fine with, or shut the hell up.
Yep.
Like, only one of those two things is going to happen. That's why they're not going to come out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, and, sorry.
And here's the, like, undoubtedly the rhetoric causes a lot of violence.
I got you off track. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Undoubtedly the rhetoric causes a lot of violence. And the only way to eliminate the rhetoric is actually create more government that infringes on our First Amendment rights of free speech. Rhetoric is allowed as free speech, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You could have, it's just two different ways to go about it. There are clips out there of Democrat after Democrat after Democrat saying, meet them in the streets. Don't be afraid to punch somebody if you have to.
Oh, yeah.
I've thought about blowing up the White House.
Obama, if they bring a knife, I'm bringing a gun.
Right.
Like,
right.
It all started, what's crazy is it all started in Biden's, I think it was his second term, not his first term. Because
Obama's.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Obama's second term. The first one was all, you know, good, but then that, him getting reelected kind of started that inflamed process and everybody getting mad. And then he was the first one to be, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
I mean, Joe Biden said, you know, when people were talking about, you know, states seceding and all this, and he's like, well, if you want that, well, you got to take on an F-16.
Yeah.
And we'll blah, blah, blah. Like, let's not pretend
that
this is one-sided.
And
the boil-up is on both.
Yeah.
Like, and there's enough blame to go to the right and to the left.
And I mean, there's no shortage of clips of Joe Biden saying he wants to take Trump behind the gymnasium and beat the shit out of him.
Do you know how much they could have paid off the national debt in pay-per-view if those two old fucks would have fought?
Right. Oh, yeah. Totally.
UFC fought in Vegas.
But meanwhile, you take something like January 6th, where Trump did not organize the gathering out there.
No.
Right? But Trump makes one little tweet that says, head to the Capitol building.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Peacefully.
And all of a sudden, that's inciting an insurrection.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Joe Biden can be on camera time and time again saying, I want to take Trump to the behind the gymnasium and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And
that's not violence.
He's
like, our guy.
Right. And
come on, bro.
And obviously, rhetoric is part of the campaign strategies today. I just want to see the equal application on both sides. In other words, like, I would love to see the Republicans grow some balls and sue the fuck out of some Democrats doing some rhetoric, right?
A few of those are going on right now.
Yeah.
Trump's suing the New York Times again for $15 billion, I think, or $5 billion or some shit.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to go round and round on that forever, and that's just part of it. But, like, we as citizens have to be able to see through that, right? So, like, when Kamala and Joe Biden were debating on the preliminaries.
And making fun of each other and telling each other they were pieces of shit.
And Kamala's telling Joe that he's a Nazi and, you know, all of this stuff. And then, the day after Kamala got announced as his vice president, they asked her, like, what about all that stuff you said during the debates? And she laughed it off and cackled it off like she always does.
Double cackle bridges.
And she goes, oh, well, that's just debates. Oh, so they don't matter?
Yeah.
Like, do debates matter or do they not? Right.
Yeah. Does the truth matter or does it not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, only if it helps me
in
my situation.
It came up in my Facebook memories, within the last few days, from... I feel like this was last year. I feel like it was a year ago, right about now, when Trump and Biden were debating. And I think this was the one where...
I think they only debated one time.
They only debated once.
And it was horrible.
And the moderators were...
Yeah.
They fact-checked Trump...
Over and over on everything he said,
and they never once fact-checked Biden, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had made a post then of like, man, I wish debates were back when they were, like during the Clinton era.
They were good.
During the Bush, like...
They were good.
They talked policy.
Yeah.
They talked positions and stance. And now it's basically two people slinging mud for viral video clips.
Yeah.
They don't, like, you walk out of a debate today and you know nothing.
Yeah.
And did he win? Well, I don't know. He may have won the debate, but did he further convince the voters that he's the right guy? No.
No. The last good one was Trump and Hillary when actual facts came out.
But even then, like, so I like that one, but... Like, even then,
it was
there
starting to get dirty.
There were still baiting clips in there for viral views. You know, Hillary Clinton saying something to the effect of, you can go through my taxes and blah, 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 and I don't know why you haven't or whatever, and Trump says, because you'd be in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
What I think actually turned that election, and I know it well, because Dave Chappelle, I think it was Saturday Night Live, was talking about this exact moment when Trump said, you know, the system's rigged, and she's like, well, how would you know that? And he's like, because I use it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
All, and you know why you're not going to change it? Because you and all your donors use it.
Right.
And then she's like, well, isn't that just nice? And he's like, well, why haven't you changed it?
Right.
Like, those were facts that turned an election. And I think that may have been the last time.
Right. And it's no different than, like, they've got RFK right now as the leader of health in our nation.
And Elizabeth Warren and what's-his-face, who have more big pharma donors than anyone else in the freaking country, grilling him about vaccines and all this stuff. And it's like, how can you stand up there with a straight face being paid by outside sources to question someone that only wants our kids to be healthier?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying... do vaccines, don't do vaccines, whatever. But he's the only motherfucker that's tried in I don't even know how long.
Right.
Like, he's the only one. And what pisses me off more, I don't think my sister listens to this. Like, if she does, I don't give a shit. But the people on the left, she's super left, and so is her husband. When she was pregnant with their kid, calls me and literally was asking me, what do you think about vaccines? And, you know, we had, because she was scared to death that when she had this girl, she was going to be pumping her full of bullshit.
Yeah.
And now all of these same exact type, I'm not saying her, but types of people that were asking those questions back then are now inject them with whatever the fuck we got because it's what our politicians want them to do. And it's like, how can you not have a sense of rational thought?
Right.
Like, literally 4 years ago, you were scared to death of the same fucking things.
Yes.
People that were on your side were like, look, we have to investigate this because kids are having, my mind just went completely blank.
Autism.
Autism.
Yep.
You know, they're autistic and all of these allergies are way up and all this stuff. So you were asking the right questions. You were.
Mm-hmm.
And now, oh, we don't want to bring up the fact that maybe that is correct. Maybe we should be looking at some of this stuff a little bit closer and finding out for sure. Now, you know, the measles and all that kind of stuff, like that's tested and proven. Roll with it. Okay.
Right.
But all this new shit and all this data that's come out since like 1992.
Yeah.
Like, we need to have some serious thoughts and looks and, you know, open discussion about whether we should be making kids take them or not.
Right.
But no, it's what our side wants.
Yeah.
So we have to jump on board and sink the ship. What? Who cares?
Yeah.
We don't care. We're going down with it.
And we're...
I almost said a lot of really bad things there at the end.
we're headed for a bad path on political violence. I just read an article that was talking about generationally, your boomers and your Gen Zs and Gen Xs and all the other generations.
We get our own 4-year window.
Yeah, I don't know what,
which is fantastic. Cause
I like millennix.
I'm not a millennial. I'll fucking tell you that right now. I'm an old soul.
I don't know what we are, but, they were talking, they asked all those different groups one question, and that is political violence ever the answer? And the oldest of the generations, like 74% said no. The youngest generation that they asked
said yes.
Like, well, it was basically just percentages of no's.
Oh, okay.
And it went from like 74% all the way down to like 17% of the current generation today that they were polling, which I'm going to say is high school, college students, was 17% said, yes, political violence is never the answer. Never was underlined in the question.
Yeah.
Right. And so only like we went from 74% of Americans in that generation. And these would be like the 70-year-olds of today.
Yeah. Be like my dad, yeah, your dad.
Yeah. And so the 70-year-olds of today, 74% of them say violence, political violence is never the answer. And stark difference from today. And so it's only gonna get worse. Now, the other thing in that graphic was every generation it got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
So this isn't a Trump problem. Right?
No,
it's not a Biden problem. It's not an Obama problem. It's not a Bush problem. It's really a media problem. Because and you're seeing this social media too, because if it bleeds, it leads. And if it's divisive, roll with it. Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, social media is soon to follow mainstream media from the standpoint of don't let facts get in the way of a good attention-grabbing story.
Well, and that's been that way since the 80s.
Right.
Since news, TV,
exactly.
In the 80s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if
Walter
we're wrong...
Cronkite fucked us all.
If we're wrong, we'll print a retraction 3 or 4 days later. Nobody's ever going to see the retraction anyway. We'll put it on the back page of the newspaper.
Yeah.
Whatever, right? But you're starting to see that now with social media. Is people are leading with conjecture and leading with assumptions because it sounds good and it fits their narrative and it solves their confirmation bias. And then they're willing to retract it and say, okay, well, I wasn't right about that, but ...
Yeah,
right?
But the problem is the only way to curb that is to infringe on the First Amendment right, and no one wants that.
Well, I think the other way to curb it is for the public has to do a better job of holding those agencies accountable. I think that's the only way you can do it.
I don't think people really want to.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying cancel them or anything else, but what I'm saying is like you have the First Amendment right to call me a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're protected from me popping you in the mouth.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that also means assault on my end. Right?
Yeah.
But
well, these days there doesn't seem to be a lot of consequences for,
right,
you know, that kind of shit.
Right.
So it makes it worse.
Right.
It's compounded.
I had a 3-hour conversation with our city council representative for my area in our city.
Mr. Alford?
No. City council.
Oh, city Blue Springs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And ironically lives just down the street. And so we sat in his driveway for 3 hours chatting it up. And we share very similar political views. We're not identical. We're very similar. But there's some local laws here in my city that I'm trying to change. And then there's some statewide laws that I'm trying to change. And he helped me I don't know a lot about the legal system. I don't know the pomp and circumstance of my way through a city council meeting and all of the flow and the rhythm and the order and procedure.
It's the order and procedure. That's the,
yeah.
You never been to a city council meeting and spoke?
Never have.
Really?
I've only ever been in one courtroom.
It's not a courtroom.
No, I know. But like the reason I decided to have this conversation is when we had to go to the Jackson County Family Court for the wrong accusations against my son, I learned very quickly that I don't know my way around a courtroom. I got corrected by the judge. She was a female judge, and I know judges have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because they have to maintain order in their courtroom.
Yeah.
I got corrected from her several times very sternly because I was not following the courtroom protocol because I don't know it, right?
That's why because my first thing would have been like, look, I am all for rules and regulations, but I don't know them.
Yeah.
There's not a list up here on the wall. It's not easy for me to find them on the internet.
Yeah.
What you tell me what I should do.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to do it.
And eventually that's kind of where I got.
Yeah.
And she understood and she knew. And again, I think they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because they don't know who they're dealing with yet. And so they're going to come at you of stern and orderly.
And see how you react.
And then see how you react. And if you push back, they're going to keep pushing back. But if you're like, hey, yeah, sorry, I just didn't know that's a thing or whatever, then, you know,
yeah.
As long as you treat them with respect, I think you gain mutual ground there. But that experience taught me, okay, if I'm going to go have a difference in city council meetings, I need to understand the pomp and circumstance surrounding city council meetings. And so I was looking for somebody that can just help educate me on, like, what's the workflow? What's the process? How do you get up there and speak as a citizen? Is there an application you have to file? Is it a lottery? Like,
depends on what it's for.
Right. Yeah. And so that's where all of that started. And he kind of let me know all of that stuff. And he was like, dude, please come. He's like, you'd probably
never been.
No,
it's fun.
He's like, you'd probably be one of the only ones. There's not very many citizens that show up to these things.
Yeah.
And
unless it's like a development or something where people are really pissed.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, I want to come and watch a couple and I want to watch people speak. And I don't really weigh in opinions on what they're speaking about. I just want to see, how did they address the city council and were they effective in their result?
Yeah.
And so if you get up there in jean shorts and a T-shirt, but with a good topic, do they respect you? Like, do I need to wear a suit?
No, you don't.
Do I need to speak a certain way? Do I need to address a certain person, or, you know, all that stuff?
Yeah.
And so we got to talking and he got super excited about it. That I'm going to be coming to some city council meetings. But, and now a word from our sponsors. Field Pulse is the field management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It's got advanced features to run as your CRM, your customer relationship management system. It can handle your estimates and your invoices. It can handle scheduling and dispatching. It can give you good, better, best proposals. It can handle your maintenance plans, and it'll even incorporate the Tradewinds price book that we sell at Tradewinds. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with all the other softwares you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online, your bank, your desktop, all of that stuff. So hit the ground running without ever changing how you do your normal day at work. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8 rating across 600 reviews. So to learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FIELDPULSE.com. He also taught me what rules I can and can't affect in the city and what rules actually have to go to the state level. The city only has ordinances. The city doesn't actually make laws. And the difference between a law and an ordinance is a law comes from the state level, and the city level has an ordinance that it's similar to a law. It's punishable by fine or whatever, but it's just at the city level, right?
Yeah.
And so some of the stuff that I'm wanting to correct, we correct at the city level. Some of it's at the state level. And he kind of got me clued in on all that stuff. But one of the things that we talked about was, how did we get to this position? How did we get to this position where a convicted bad guy that's an illegal immigrant is even allowed to kill somebody on the subway? Like, why are they even, or on the bus? Why are they even there? They should be behind bars, right?
Yeah.
And how did we get to the position where somebody thinks the logical answer is to kill Charlie Kirk, right? Like, that's a bad problem. And I rolled all the way back to with him in his driveway. We rolled all the way back to, like, these trans people that demand we call them by certain things and call them by certain pronouns and all that stuff. And it's this tiny, slow erosion.
I don't think it's just, I don't think that was the start. I think that was a major leap off point.
Yes.
But I think a lot of it started when smartphones came out. That was, I think, one of the first major step offs. And I say that because it gave you a cop out.
It gave everybody a voice.
And it gave everyone a lack of accountability for what they said. I've said this on this show before.
Yeah, the keyboard warrior thing.
Well, that, and if I go to the bar and I'm drinking and I grab your wife's ass and you punch me in the mouth, I have an immediate consequence for my actions.
Right.
There are no consequences to actions with this stupid-ass phone.
Not immediate.
Not immediate. Right. There can be some later, mm-hmm. but how many of them just get lost in the wayside?
Yeah.
You know, oh, say you and I are having an argument, a real argument on mm-hmm. here, and you're fucking mad as shit at me about it, and I don't see you for 3 days. You're not as mad 3 days later.
Right.
It goes to the wayside. The next thing comes up on the phone and you're distracted. And so I think that real lack of instant consequence, mm-hmm. The fall off of it immediately when smartphones came out and the internet was real prevalent, I think that, for me, that's what I pinpoint it to.
And if you really want to take it even further, mainstream media has been doing exactly that for years.
Yeah, on their end, but it wasn't on a personal level.
Well, it was. It was to us personally. Against mainstream media.
Yeah, but we couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
But it was like five media groups and then the rest of us, and now it's one on one on one on one over 330 million people or however many people live in this freaking country now.
Yeah. It's, you know? It's one of those things. I don't think smartphones created the problem. I think smartphones exacerbated the problem, but they're also the solution at the same time. So what I mean by that is before smartphones, the only media we were privy to was what the elites allowed to be broadcasted on the mainstream media channels. And so we weren't allowed to get all of these outside perspectives because it just wasn't, the information didn't flow that fast. But now that smartphones are there, we're able to listen to a political columnist really dissect the ins and the outs of this political decision. We're in, and they don't have an agenda. They're not even being paid. It's a friggin' podcast, right? But we can listen to other people's credited opinions. But the problem with that is it's very hard to know who's worthy of getting credit for their opinions and who's not. Because just like you would listen to a Ben Shapiro or a Rush Limbaugh or something like that, just like you would listen to one of those guys, Ed from the third floor in The Office is spouting his political bullshit, and it's confirmation bias is a real thing, I guess is what I'm saying. And if anything, confirmation bias is probably what I would consider one of the bigger attributes to this whole problem, is people are so worried about being right that they almost don't care what is right anymore. Because they're always looking for that gotcha moment or that viral clip or whatever else. They're looking to own somebody.
And well, it's exacerbated by the smartphone.
Yes, absolutely.
And the instant connectivity.
Yeah.
I think, let me challenge that point just a little bit. Like, I shouldn't say challenge. Would everyone in society as a whole be happier if the smartphones weren't around? Would there be less divisive nature? Would people have less anxiety and be less stressed? The answer is yes.
I don't know if it is, and here's why I say that. Take Vietnam.
Yeah.
A highly politicized war.
Yeah.
Divided people around the nation.
Yeah.
No smartphones, only mainstream media and radio propaganda. And I say propaganda because
a lot of it was. Yeah.
A lot of it was. And the moment you choose what part of the story, you know, like you and I can have a discussion, right? We're not propagandizing anything. We can say that, yeah, we tend to lean right, but there's some parts of the right side of that I don't agree with, right? That's not propaganda.
Yeah, we're just having discussions.
Right, right. but back then, it was only what was chosen for you to read. The only information you had access to was chosen for you by the elites. And so
I agree with that. That doesn't mean people would be less. I know what you're saying is look at how that example made people upset and anxiety and all that stuff.
They were still marching and protesting.
The thing about the war is it was going to end and stop.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to end or stop.
Correct.
There is no finality here. All it is. You know, a downhill slide forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, and I get your point, and it makes complete sense. But after the war was over,
yeah,
people started coming together. You know, a lot of that you know, subsided, and then the next thing was another war.
Yeah.
You know, there was...
We had the Korean War, we had the Cold War.
Well, Korean was before
Vietnam. Yeah, Korean War was before Vietnam. But Cold War was after.
Which I think a lot of that was exacerbated by the media to create division and control people as well.
Right.
But, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s were the most prosperous time in America, and for... this is going to be a complete opinion. For the most part, people were a lot happier than they are now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, and I know there's no, like, there's no, yes, Dave, you're right, or Mitch, yes, you're right. There's not. It's just, it's an open debate and something that we will continue to, you know, battle.
Yeah.
Like, with our kids and the generation after them. And I just, I don't see, I mean, I'll be doom and gloom here. I don't see a way out of it, right. I guess.
The thing you have to realize is...
And I only see it getting worse.
It's kind of like the cell phone talk that we had about cell phones in schools.
That was a great talk.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was a great talk.
If schools view cell phones as a distraction, that's all they will ever be, right? But if we view it as both a distraction and one of the greatest tools ever invented, well, now that's what it really is, right? But the school uses confirmation bias to say students' attention spans are less and less and less, and the only change we're seeing is the cell phone, so the cell phones are bad, right? And they're, it's the confirmation bias saying that. Confirmation bias is when you're looking for answers that confirm your bias in a subject. In other words, you're not openly looking for answers to seek better truth. You're looking for answers that support your argument. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a natural thing to do.
Of course.
But anybody that I've seen develop personally rapidly all started whenever they eliminated their confirmation bias, when they started making decisions on what is right rather than what they think is right. Okay. And so
I agree with that a lot. The problem is I don't think a lot of people are smart enough to do that.
Correct.
That's,
no.
You know what I mean?
I agree. But like, The cell phone thing, when it comes to social media and stories and everything else, the cell phone exacerbates the problem because it gives morons a voice too, and it's hard to know the difference. However,
that's going to be a short.
Yeah. However, it's also the transparency we've all needed, right? Because let's just say cell phone cameras didn't exist. And let's say the internet didn't exist when Charlie Kirk got shot. The only thing we have to go off of is what the media tells us happened. And sometimes the media is not truthful. Big shocker.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
if the media tells us that a left-wing trans nut job shot Charlie Kirk, we all know that to be true now. Whether it is true or not, that's the only information we have, so we don't have anything else to go off of.
Yeah.
So it is true, right?
Yeah.
Perception is reality, I guess is what I'm saying. And
deception is reality, yeah.
Well, if they're good enough at deception to make me perceive a left-wing nut job trans person shot Charlie Kirk, then that's all I have to go off of, right? But now we have the transparency to say maybe he wasn't quite so left-wing. Maybe he wasn't trans, right? And so we're able to get some other opinions about things. Let me also explain another way where this transparency really helps. Have you heard about TMZ and their celebration the moment Charlie Kirk was announced dead?
I heard that there were people laughing in the background. Then I saw they came out and said that people were watching a car chase and we're laughing.
Yes.
And I think TMZ is a joke, so I didn't care. And so I didn't research it. It makes no difference to me.
Yeah.
I think they're a joke of a news.
Yeah.
I use quotations, organization. I can't believe that TMZ is still a fucking thing.
Right.
So continue.
But TMZ is they're live on YouTube talking about the Charlie Kirk thing. Okay.
Until you said that right there, I didn't know it was live and I didn't even know they were live on YouTube.
Yep.
Okay.
And so
learned something new today.
What was happening is unless you watched it live, you're having to watch the playback of the live. Okay.
The edited playback, maybe?
No, it's
maybe
not edited.
Not. Okay.
When you go live, you can't edit it. So it's the live thing. But when you go live on YouTube, That video is ingrained on YouTube.
You know, I can download the live and I can put it in Adobe Premiere and I can edit whatever I want into it. And then I can say this is the recording of the live and put it on YouTube.
I think when, don't quote me on this, but I think when you go live on YouTube, there is no edit. Like it,
the you cannot download the live broadcast later from a saved file.
Well, then it's not a recorded live earlier thing. Then it's so-and-so uploaded a video.
I'm saying if they have a live broadcast and then you can go back and watch a live broadcast,
uh-huh.
I can download that video.
Correct.
And
correct.
Then I can take that video into Adobe,
yes.
And I can edit it, and then I can put it on my own YouTube channel,
yes.
And say, this is the live, unedited version
even
of
though
what
it's edited.
Even though yeah. it's edited.
Right. You no, know, no, this is straight from TMZ's channel.
Okay.
And different time zones affect all of this and everything else, but somebody did a really good job of aligning up the clocks that are in the background on TMZ to when all this stuff occurred, okay?
Okay.
And so basically, they're in their main room, and there's people in a back room, and they are watching, the people in the back room are watching a car chase, okay? And the people in the main room that you can see, they are trying to get up-to-date information on the whole Charlie Kirk thing. Okay. The people in the back room, the TMZ has later said the people in the back room were celebrating the end of the car chase.
Okay.
But the problem is at the moment their cheers and laughter and everything happened, the timestamp on the clock does not match the timestamp on the end of the car chase. The car chase didn't end for many minutes later.
Gotcha.
Many, many, many minutes later.
Yeah, that's
however, right. What happened at that exact timestamp was the news station that they were watching broke in the live coverage of the car chase and said, we have just received word that Charlie Kirk has passed away from his injuries. And that's when TMZ's office erupts into cheers
that's
and laughter
right.
and everything else.
Bunch of liberal kids. Okay? Yeah.
So they're lying with language saying, sorry, they were watching a car chase. It had nothing to do with Charlie Kirk. Bull fucking shit it didn't, right? But here's why I love the fact that we have social media today. Without social media, we would have nothing to do other than take TMZ at their word. But now with social media, we're able to actually have, let's call them analysts, although they're non-professional analysts, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Truth is truth.
Truth is truth, yeah. Right?
Truth is truth.
And if the laughter erupts at 1:07 on the clock in the video and you're watching a car chase in a different time zone and that car chase ended at 1:27.
We know you're lying.
Then there's a 20-minute yeah. difference there. But what did happen at 1:07 was they were interrupted, you know. And so like the cell phones bring us the transparency that we've needed for a long time.
Well, some of my point is cell phones have brought us the transparency that we, quote unquote, have needed for a long time, but can't handle. How about that? You know what I mean? When the only thing that is on the cell phone through social media is negativity, people are in a worse place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I guess that's more of my point.
Yeah.
Than whether we're better off or not with the cell phones. It's the fact that the only thing that's on them is negative.
Yeah.
And it's eating people's fucking brains.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So like, let's talk some other examples where the media.
Why? We know they lie.
Right, right, right. but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to validate why social media is so cool.
Oh, no. We agree in that.
Yeah.
I think the fact that you can, and we talk about this in Tradewinds all the time, you can get real life, you know, public sourcing
mm-hmm.
for things that you really care about instantaneously.
Yeah.
And it makes it easier to grasp the truth or get the truth.
Right.
That part I have no argument with.
Right.
My argument, I guess, is are people ready for the truth because they lose their mind? This fucking kid has lost his mind because he couldn't handle the truth and killed a guy over it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't think
he was being fed truth. I think he was told Charlie Kirk spews hate speech. I think he was being told Charlie
well,
Kirk is the devil.
Maybe.
But
we don't know that.
Right.
You know, we don't know what, and we never will, like
right,
we said
right,
earlier. Like,
right.
We just won't. And I think I think there's no right solution. How
well,
about that?
I think the right solution is to use social media to hold everybody accountable. And
how I know what I was gonna say.
How we do that. Remember when the story broke that Anderson Cooper was wearing chest waders covering a flood? And then somebody with a cell phone took a picture of the whole camera crew.
Yeah.
And Anderson Cooper, they're all standing in the dry. And yeah. He's gone down into a waterway ditch, like on this edge of a road.
Yeah. And guess what? He still has his job, unfortunately.
Right. But that's what that was like one of the first areas where, okay, social media disproved mainstream media. And then you got Jim Cantore.
Oh, God. The guy that was in the hurricane?
Yeah.
Thought he was getting blown away, and the guy's just in the back walking to his plumbing truck or whatever the hell he was doing.
Yeah, Jim Cantore's, bracing for the wind, and he's wearing all these, rain slacks, and oh, it's really hard to hear you right now. The winds are howling, and then in the background, flip-flops, shorts, and T-shirts, and they're just walking along just fine. Like, bro, come on, right?
Yeah.
All of those kinds of things, and the last one I'll hit up is, AOC, whenever she went to the border wall.
First off, I can't believe that people even listen to what she has to say.
I know. She's dumb. She is just very, very dumb.
You know why she was a bartender? Because that was her fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was her fit.
Yeah.
Put her back there.
And to prove how dumb she is, look at how slow her wealth is growing when she has the same access to all the insider trading that everyone else in the government does.
She's best friends with Nancy Pelosi. You're telling me you couldn't, grab some tips?
Yeah. How are you not worth more than what you are, right? That's how dumb she is.
That's a horrible way to say it, but you're right.
But she has all the access to be a 100 millionaire by now, and she's not. Yeah. But anyway, when she went to the border wall.
Back on track.
Yes. Yeah, when she went to the border wall, all the professional cameras that she's hired is showing her just, she's just losing her emotions, and she's on her knees, and she's crying, and her fingers are through the chain link fence, and oh my God, these kids in cages, and blah, blah, blah. And then what happens? Somebody with a cell phone camera that doesn't like AOC is standing back filming the whole production.
Look at this bitch.
There ain't nobody on the other side of that fence.
No.
They're not watching kids in cages. They're not watching anything. Yeah. They literally said, here's a spot for a photo op. Let's go there and lie to all of our followers.
Yeah.
And it's holding all of that stuff accountable. Now, can I hold AOC accountable? No. But Jim Bob down the street that does something that is morally and ethically wrong, regardless of whatever political party you're a part of, can I hold him accountable? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I will say one more thing about that. We were talking about, you can find the truth with a phone, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what, you can find the truth. And we were talking about, people just being too dumb to find the truth. I think what has actually happened is in order to find the truth, you have to want to find the truth.
Right.
And the people that are smart do.
Yes.
And the people that don't.
Yeah.
They grasp to whatever is pushing their narrative, right?
Yeah.
And they roll with it. And I think that is what maybe, I don't know for sure, has divided us almost down the middle 50-50.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think half of the country, this is going to make me sound like an asshole and I don't really care. Half of the country is smart and can think on their own, mm-hmm. and half of the country needs to be on fucking welfare.
Yeah.
And those people that are on welfare unfortunately get a vote.
Yep.
And they just refuse to look at the truth because it will either upset them, change their mindset, change their benefits, change a lot of their life, and they don't want it to be that way, whether it's intentional or subconsciously. And I think that's why that, before it used to be there was right, there was kind of right center, there was left center, there was left, and there was far left. And now it's just... It's like there's just two. There's just right and left. And
well,
I think the people in the middle have felt like they've had to choose a side.
Yeah.
And so they have. And so it's made that middle group smaller, which is a problem too.
Well, the problem there is the far left has gone so insanely far left in the last 10 years, 12 years, 15 years maybe.
Yeah. They make JFK the original good Democrat. He'd be far right now.
Right.
And people are always bringing him up, like JFK with this and JFK with that. JFK would have half of you motherfuckers in jail.
Right.
If he was here.
Right.
And he'd be the Republican president.
And
like, what are you talking about?
So the far left, like, my position hasn't changed, right? I'm center, maybe a little right of center. But the far left runs so far left that now when we look at that spectrum...
You're still standing here.
I'm still here, but I look far right simply because they ran far left. Because
everything has shifted so far, yeah.
And, like, they're in Looneyville far left.
Yeah.
What I mean, like all of a sudden, I know you're a boy, I know you have a penis, but I'm supposed to refer to you as a she, her? No, I'm not helping you lie.
No, I'm not licking your balls. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie because you ask me to. That's just dumb.
It's just insanity is what it is.
Right. But the moment we allow people to do that is the moment we start to lose control, and that's where the accountability stops. And if we were to find a way to connect any of this to business...
nice try, yeah. Dude. It's been an hour and 20 minutes. That ship sailed a long fucking time ago.
If we were to find a way to connect any of this in business, it's hold your team accountable when things are small. Because if you don't hold them accountable on the small things, things start sliding away really fast.
I agree 100%.
But the same goes for life, right?
Yeah.
If you got somebody in your neighborhood that's acting poorly, you have to find a way to diplomatically hold them accountable, right? I got somebody in my neighborhood I can't stand. There's nothing more than I'd love to do than go up there and punch that dude in the face, right? And that's not a threat, because I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm saying I'd love to do it,
yeah.
Right?
I'd love to be rich, but I'm, you know,
but
I could say a lot of things.
That comes with a lot of consequences, and then the consequences I don't want. So I have to find some other way to hold them accountable, right? And right. And so you're probably going to see me get a little bit more involved in my local government just to learn how to get a little bit more involved in my state government. But I've got a couple of ideas here with some things that I've seen that are wrong with how our local government and how our state government holds people accountable. And I believe it or not, I think our local government and our state government take a huge leap forward once we create situations to hold people accountable better, right? Cops right now have their hands tied behind their backs because they can't enforce the laws as they're written.
No,
they can waste all this time arresting somebody and everything else. But if the government finds the guy not guilty or the prosecutor lets them walk, then they end up on a city bus killing an innocent legal immigrant.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's more or less coming up with some laws to, you know, if a bartender, if I work in a bar and you come in and my stuff.
Have a drink of water,
up.
Buddy.
If a bartender, if I work at a bar and you come in and you're an adult and you overserve yourself and you die or kill somebody on the way home, me as the bartender serving you alcohol, I can be held liable for your death and the deaths you caused.
Yeah, which is, that's bullshit.
It's an absolute bullshit,
like,
right?
We want to pass everyone's personal accountability or responsibility onto someone else.
Yeah.
That is another huge problem.
Right.
Like, I don't want to, we could go on for hours, but like that has to stop.
Well,
in every genre.
Right. And so like, if that's a thing, then why do we stop at the bartender? Why don't we stop at the bar? Like, why don't we get the bar owner? Why don't we get the franchise? Why don't we get the liquor distributor? Why don't we get the manufacturer of the liquor the guy was drinking?
Yeah.
Why don't we get the state involved? Because they approve and tax, and the state makes money off the liquor sale that eventually killed somebody.
Well, and all that needs to go away. Just, you know, they did the same thing with assault rifles a while back. Someone tried to sue the manufacturer. It's like, dude, it's a piece of metal.
Right.
That someone literally can make that is written into our Constitution.
Right.
You can't, like, what are we doing?
Are we going to go sue Chinette because you're a fat fuck?
Chinette.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they created...
Talking about shit out of left field.
Right. Well, I mean, they created the instrument that you use to get fat.
I know.
Right? It's just dumb, but...
It is dumb.
If that's a real thing, then why in the world can't we hold magistrates accountable when they don't do their job of putting criminals behind bars? We have laws to separate good from bad.
Dude, when bankers used to go bankrupt, like they would hold them in jail for 60, I think it was 60 days. This is old school times.
Mm-hmm.
They would hold them in jail. They would sell off all their assets. And if they couldn't pay all of those people back after they went bankrupt, they cut their head off.
Yeah.
They killed them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying it has to be that extreme, but maybe there needs to be some middle ground here. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you had the chance to hold this person accountable. You let them go. They killed four more people.
Right.
Like, what are we doing?
Right. Right.
Like, where's the line at?
Yeah.
Where is the line at?
Yeah. It all comes down to accountability, and we have to hold people accountable at the personal level, and we can't look to shed accountability anywhere else, right? We started doing this cool thing in our plumbing company where we call it the big job breakdown. And we take
the big job breakdown, the yeah, BJBD, bitch.
We take the one of the larger jobs that we've completed over the last week, and we dissect it on the whiteboard in our team meetings. And we're running it very similar to like a SWAT team would analyze a job that they had to do.
Oh.
Right. So okay,
so guys, we had material marked at this, but material was actually this.
Correct.
Where did we mess up?
Right.
Did something come up, or did we miss something on the bid? Do you
right.
mean like that?
And so we have rules for the big job breakdown, and that is 100% personal accountability, zero blaming others. However, it's okay to talk about where others could have improved, that makes sense.
Personal accountability doesn't mean consequences for an honest mistake.
Correct.
You know
Correct.
What I mean? But saying, I messed this up, guys, I'm going to be better.
Yeah.
That's personal accountability.
Yeah. And so like we did this big job breakdown on this last big sewer we did where we uncovered that 100-year-old truck weigh scale buried underground.
Which is super cool, by the way.
Oh, it's so cool.
Did you take some pictures?
A lot of pictures and videos.
Send them to me.
So the big job breakdown on that was obviously, let's not get too sidetracked on the 100-year-old weigh scale we found underground. Like, the odds of that happening again are insane. But what other things could we have done? We had very nasty black sewage-filled dirt that we were digging out of a ditch in their space.
Gross.
Plastic never made it on the walls before the dirt started getting piled against the walls, right?
To clean.
And so we had some extra cleanup to do. And it doesn't look good if we're trying to be the most professional. And so we talked about, like, guys, how does plastic get on the walls? Well, usually the concrete guys do it, but they didn't do it this time. Okay, cool. That's fine.
We need to
Why
check.
Did we put dirt on the walls where the plastic wasn't there, right? Like, we should have recognized, again, we're not blaming, but we should have recognized, okay, concrete or plastic isn't up yet. It needs to be, right?
Yeah, it's core episode number 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so being able to do things like that and break things down as a team for the purpose of everybody learning is how you hold people accountable without chastising them, without yeah. judging them in some kind of a bad way, right?
Yeah.
It's not me going, John, you're an idiot, widen plastic on the wall. Chris, you screwed this up. It's like, guys, we all worked on this project as a team. Somebody had to notice plastic wasn't on the wall. They needed to make the call the shot. And we're all equally as held accountable for that, right?
Yeah.
Little things like that. But that's another problem with today's society is accountability feels like attack to the undisciplined. And so we got to increase our level of discipline so that we're okay receiving criticism instead of it feeling like an attack.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. So
Let's wrap up the show on
yep.
that. That was a really good way to end it.
So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.